Let us turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. We read in verse 1 of Romans 8, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." We've been going through Romans 8 with great joy. We turned in these very days to these great verses there, beginning with verse 28. We read, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." There's anticipation. We look forward to all the blessings of God, and yet we have all those blessings as a foretaste in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then our spokesman for the Lord, the Apostle Paul, says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" As we look at that, it's almost, I think, something we should think of as a strange kind of question. Who can be against us? As Christians, it would seem like the whole world is against us, pitted against us, planning against us, taking counsel together against the Lord's anointed, against His people. We can almost better ask the question, who's not against us? The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one, John says. Or we read elsewhere the words of the Lord Jesus telling us that if the world has hated me, it's going to hate you. Who's not against us? Even Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that many oppose me. So what kind of question is this? We could almost think that it's better to ask who's not against us. Everyone seems to be against us. But as you look at this carefully with me, certainly Paul is not saying that Christians don't have enemies or there's no one against them. That's nonsense. That's not reality. That's not what we read in the Scriptures, nor what we live as Christians in this very real world. But maybe we need a password to get in to understand how it is that really no one, nothing can really be against us. And I believe that password is given to us there. The reality that since God is for us, then nothing can really be against us. Look with me at that password, God is for us. As you look there in verse 31, he asks the question, what shall we say to these things? What is our response? As we went through these verses prior to this, as we have gone through the whole of that chapter, as you go through Romans chapter by chapter from the very beginning, there's laid out before us all how God is committed to be for us. And certainly in this passage that God foreknew us from eternity past, loved us, set Himself upon us with eternal love, that truly He predestined us to be conformed to the very image of His own Son. Why? For the glory of His Son, that He be the firstborn, the preeminent one. That we have the reality, yes, that God has called us powerfully. That we have come to have faith in Christ. And it's, yes, that calling that we know has come from God because we have responded with faith in Christ. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, there is that wondrous sense in which, yes, the Word comes, the Gospel comes to them, but it comes not in word only, but in power. And they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe and they are saved. That calling is God's calling. And then we read, yes, that He has justified us, declared us to be righteous, that we have been enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are joined to Him and we're declared righteous in Christ. That reality, that's good news. In Him we have His righteousness. In Him He has taken upon Himself our sin. How wonderful is that good news, that He became sin with our sin so that we might become righteous with His righteousness. And then we looked at last week how God has, yes, glorified us. That daring word of anticipation that in Christ we have been glorified. There is that sense that God is for us, even to our glory in Jesus Christ. Nothing, no one can stop us. Or better said, no one, nothing can stop God from being for us. What is our response? God is for us. Great assurance in that. What is there really left to say? God is for us. Now, there's that question that's there. Who is against us? When you look through the passage, certainly the Apostle Paul lists some 17 different enemies and circumstances and things that seem, yes, to be completely pitted against us. But just look at verse 35. You can't hardly get more opposition into one verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? There's reality to this opposition. Last night as I was here praying, thought I would check the email, and suddenly here comes an email in from our dear brother Dr. Poe there in Malaysia, and he says, my friend has just called me from the area there in Indonesia where they've been taking the tsunami relief, and there's a bomb that's gone off and they're undercover, and he's called from his cell phone, and pray for them, you know. And it's like right now there's bullets flying over his head. And then about a little bit later I got another email back. They're all safe back together, all the people that were out preaching and teaching, they're back safe. I mean, the real world is one of all kinds of opposition. It's real. Who is against us? Certainly we're counted as the scum, the offscouring, the last of all. The world is set against us in its opposition. And then we have to also realize that our own flesh, within us, there's still that which is evil, and it's also that which is powerful. Those in high places, even as Christians, fall. We can even say of some of the most evil men that have lived, maybe looking back earlier in their life, they weren't always that evil. Evil is a powerful force in this earth. And then certainly the devil, though he is bound by one stronger than he is still wrestling us to the ground. And even though it would seem he's bound, he is still one who is in opposition to us. Paul is not saying you have no enemies, but he's saying, since God is for you with such great love, and His plan is so powerful, and the reality that He has called you and justified you and glorified you, you can be certain that no enemy can ever overcome you. God is for you. we tasted this morning and remembered together the body of the Lord Christ. As we tasted of the bread, we remembered how His body was broken and He is committed to loving us. He is the one whose blood was not just spilt in some accidental way. Plan B, He was crucified on a cross, but before the foundation of the world, His very life was planned to end there in death on the cross. I ask you, did you remember Jesus Christ is for you? That God is for you? Think with me, all that is in opposition to you and to the Lord's kingdom, and remember Jesus Christ. What is the greatest evil against God and His Son ever committed? Certainly the crucifixion of the Lord of glory. That final point of opposition with all of its force and power, Peter speaks in his first sermon saying, wicked men put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross. And there was still that echoing of men, crucify Him, crucify Him. But God is for us. Turn with me to the book of Acts and read more from that sermon, just with our minds fresh upon this. Let it sink down into our hearts. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 22. Peter says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross. But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. Look at verse 36. There we see what God does, even at this moment of ultimate opposition, in a sense. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. We read, when the people heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. What good news, even from that which men sought to do as their terrible evil act, God brings His blessing, that reality that God is for you in such a way that all opposition, all wicked men, the world, the flesh, and the devil bring us to have salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazingly good news? Our God is the one who does bring salvation to us. We drink of the wine, we eat of the bread, and we remember God is for us. Just think for a moment more with me who it is that is for you. There we have this password, God is for you. It lets us into all the assurance and certainties of God's blessings in Jesus Christ. There we have God is for us, so that we can say, Abba, Father, so that we can know that His plan is for good in our lives. There we know that His decrees are good for us, that His power is for us. All the energy of God Himself is on our behalf. That the Son came, yes, to die for us, His people. That He is the one who identified with us, who intercedes for us. He loves us. The Holy Spirit sent to dwell in us with all His love. We live in that world of that triune God who is for us in all things, praying for us. God is for us, and He never changes. And that password never changes. It's good for all time. God is for us. You can stay with it all the days of your life. God is for us. In a moment, we're going to sing that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a bulwark never failing. And I want you to go with those words and follow that message based upon Psalm 46, that great hymn, yes, written by Martin Luther based on Psalm 46. He wrote the music also, but it was that which gave them certainty in the most difficult of times. He would say to Melanchthon, Philip, let's go sing the old 46th Psalm. There was great confidence. There are moments in all of our lives when we need great confidence. And that password, God is for us, is one that won't change. I still remember an incident in life long ago that when I was about in fifth grade, I was at Monta Vista School over in Phoenix, and there was a whole group of these fellows that would go and play over at Monta Vista. Some of them were already at ASU, Ken Becker, and I remember there was Coach Hart from North High and different ones had players over there who would practice and play together, and I would go down after school about when it was almost getting dark, and I would stay there and play with these guys. I'd get rebounds and try to get involved and learn and watch and just to be part of this group of fellows playing that were really good. But I still remember when they chose up teams, I'd be the last one. They'd actually argue over who had to have me. Or, you know, and you stand there and you realize you're not just a zero, you're a minus. You're a liability. But we're never just a liability. A zero, a minus. When God is for us, it's not we fit in somewhere because the market has a place for us. We fit in somewhere because we have trained and done this and that and we put it all together. If God is for us, we can be assured that His love will never, never, never change. That is the password. God is for me. Shout it within your very being. God is for me. Who can be against me? He makes all those things turn in such a way that I'll be brought closer to Him. God is for us in Jesus Christ. And we can be assured we won't have to change the password or find something new. God is for us. Let us pray together. Father, we do thank You that the password never changes, that You have committed Your love to us from eternity past, and that You've loved us with an everlasting love. And truly we know You've drawn us with loving kindness. And in all of our weakness, in all of our uncertainties, yes, even in all of our sins, it's beyond our understanding, but You've committed Yourself to be for us in Christ. Write that upon all of us this day, Lord. For we ask for your blessing upon us. In Christ. Amen.